Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Did you get her a Christmas present?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
What'd you get her?
I got her a $30 gift card to Babies R Us.
You got the baby a gift card?
Well, I assume that's all it's going to be used for. I don't know what she likes.
Travis, how does a baby use a gift card?
Babies do not use gift cards.
Sleigh bells ring, ring, ring-a-ling. Is that Travis? Or is that Santa?
Santa Travis.
Santa Travis?
Santa Travis. Have you been good little boys this year? I already know the answer. Getting cold.
That's actually really good.
And slightly creepy.
I don't hate it at all. Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
Sup?
And via Skype, Santa Travis.
Oh, live from the North Pole.
How long can he keep this up?
I can keep it up all night long.
I doubt that.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND, or WFOD show on Skype. We have one hell of a program for you. It's our Christmas spectacular. I'm pretty excited about it.
Sangria in hand.
Sangria in hand. I got my big glass tonight.
It's going to be one of those shows.
I'm feeling festive. We will be joined shortly by Drunkard STL on the Twitters. He will share with us his Christmas blessing.
Oh, he's been a good boy this year.
I'm going to tell you what. Travis can probably back me up on this. Napier probably can't. But I've been shouting from the rooftops, anybody who will listen, that Making a Murderer documentary on Netflix, it's like a 10-parter. I can't think about anything else. Like, no. I watched it, and it's fucking crazy, and I know that we probably shouldn't just talk about that this show, but I want to. That's all I want to talk about.
I'd be more than happy to just talk for an hour about Making a Murderer.
It's fucking crazy, Travis.
It's unbelievable.
Listen to me, guys. If you haven't heard about this, if you haven't heard about it, if you don't know anything about it, if you do know anything about it or are on the fence, you have to watch it because it's crazy. And then you contact me so that we can talk about it. Because it's one of those things that you want to talk about. I'm telling you, like, you know how everyone's always telling you, oh, man, you should watch this show because it's just so great. And you're like, yeah, it's probably not that great. This is great. Gotta watch it.
No, One Punch Man is great.
Explain One Punch Man to me, because I guess I'm guilty of what I just said, because yesterday you were telling me about One Punch Man, and I couldn't click out of it and be done with it quicker.
It's pretty much an anime that kind of makes fun of other superhero animes, and the guy is just so ridiculously overpowered that it makes it funny. And when you see him punch something, it's like Fist of the North Star. It's like there's blood and guts and shit everywhere. It's great.
So he punches somebody once.
And they die.
And then they're
decimated. They explode, yeah. And that's
it?
Well, also, it plays on.
So it's really short, I guess. He gets in an argument with somebody and punches him once, and then they explode, and then it's over?
Oh, no, there's all kinds of dialogue, and he has friends, and it's always like this kind of parody of other things that came before it, and you see him play that up.
So this guy, he's in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
At Travis's stomping grounds. How close is this to you, Travis?
I would say probably 2 hours.
2 hours away.
I can tell you one thing, though, living through this Stephen Avery case, there was nothing on the television besides Stephen Avery when this was happening, so I'm sure it's very intriguing to other people, but living in Wisconsin and seeing the local news cover this like they did, and essentially just straight out say, as soon as the case began and the girl went missing, that Stephen Avery butchered this girl.
So
this guy was screwed.
Homeboy was convicted of raping a gal, and he did 18 years in jail. Like, and if they show, and see, the thing about it is like, me being the skeptic that I am, like, I see all this crazy evidence and the way this is laid out, and I'm going, I have no idea how a jury would have convicted this guy. And, but I mean, I assume, because I'm kind of skeptical about things, that like the documentary is kind of just showing the side that they want to show and not the whole thing.
I got a break character real quick. It is not skewed at all. They just flat out show you everything that they presented in that court case.
But yeah, but
it's amazing. Like when they first let him, I thought, because I kind of knew the story. Like I said, I just knew that this guy and his nephew went to prison for killing this girl. Like less than a year after he was released from serving 18 years in prison for raping a girl.
We're talking a lot of inside baseball here. For people who don't know what we're talking about, this guy did 18 years in jail for apparently raping abroad. They kind of show the evidence, and there is no evidence, really, that this guy did this. He has an alibi. He was,
and actually, there was really good evidence that a different guy did it.
Right. And so, after 18 years in jail, this other guy's DNA, they find one pube on this gal, and they're like, oh, dude, we found this other guy's pube on this gal. So, you know, chances are it wasn't this guy, it was this other rapist guy. So they let him out. And, you know, as you can imagine, he did 18 years in jail for kind of like a shady police work and it kind of, you know, weird circumstances how he was convicted for this. So he sues.
Well, and you have to get in the mind frame, too. Like, this is small town Wisconsin. This is, like, I live in a town like this where all the cops are, like, good old boys, and there's no way they're ever going to do any wrong.
Right.
They could take a police vehicle and flip it in the ditch, drunk driving, and it would turn out that alcohol wasn't a factor a week later. That's the kind of police department that this is. And they all stick together, and they serve, like, life. They don't go anywhere. They become police officers, and they're police officers forever.
So this guy lives in the town that he lived in 18 years ago. He stays there with his family, and the same cops that framed him the last time are still cops.
Yeah.
And so, like, he sues this police department, and it's looking like he's probably gonna win. And then
cue the missing auto trader photojournalist.
And then another lady disappears, and they arrest him, and there's all this crazy evidence against him that he murdered some gal. Like, you know,
is
while the lawsuit is pending, this guy murders somebody else, and they put him back in jail. And Napier, what I just told you was the first episode.
What are they going to do for the other 10?
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering.
I knew this whole story, and I thought that they would milk out at least the rape part for 2-3 episodes. No way. They're done with that, and they get into the murder immediately in the first episode.
Napier, each episode is fucking crazier than that. I don't want to ruin a whole bunch of shit for you guys, but just if you watch the first episode, just keep in mind that's the tamest episode there is.
So they don't shoot their wad on the first go?
No, this is the fucking crazy. Every episode, me and Laura, when the episode ends and they go to the credits, we stood up on the couch and we threw our hands in the air and we screamed at each other's faces. And I was pacing a circle around my dining room, living room, and kitchen. And I just kept repeating, this can't be real. This can't be real. And Laura's going pee and coming back and filling up her drink. And she's, we got to watch another one. And I know we got to watch another one. And we're like screaming at each other through the whole thing. We had to take like breaks, like every 9 minutes to get mad.
That sounds exactly like the viewing that happened. My wife usually, even on the weekends, is generally in bed by 11 o'clock, and I stay up and watch a movie. We watched this thing Friday night, Saturday night, into like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and finally finished it last night at 11. And it, like you said, every episode you watch, I'm like shouting at the TV like, that's bullshit. That can't be. How can you? You can't dismiss that. That's a thing. You know, just shouting like.
There's one part.
In my living room at the TV.
And it depends on how sensitive. This is probably a spoiler, but it's not that big of a deal because it's all crazy.
It's all spoiler and you can go online to see exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's a real thing that happened. This cop that was just deposed 3 weeks ago. They told him not to like be they wanted to like show that they weren't, you know, it was like a major conflict of interest that this police department was investigating this guy like while they were being sued by him
for millions of dollars.
Like a lot of millions of dollars
that they probably don't have.
And they don't. That was actually a point made.
They have an audio cassette of one of the guys that was deposed calling dispatch and asking them to run a license plate of the missing girl. And then nothing came of it. And then 3 days later, they found the car at this guy who they accused of killing him's house. And so they just kind of said, you know, hey man, why'd you call dispatch and ask for this license plate and, you know, describe the vehicle? And he just said,
yep, that's exactly.
That was pretty much what he said. I don't know. And they said, oh, okay. No problem, bro.
That happened multiple times. Like, oh, it doesn't matter if this evidence was here the first 17 times they were there or not. It was there the 18th. But don't worry about that. Worry about the other stuff. Don't worry about this planted evidence.
And the whole time.
Worry about the other stuff.
The whole time, I keep thinking to myself, there's no way this can be real. This has to be skewed in a direction. Even when I watched the Jinx thing with that crazy son of a bitch who went in the bathroom and left his microphone on and just said, oh yeah, I killed him. While he's taking a piss, he's confessing to murders. He's sitting there staring at his dick, shooting pee into the urinal going, I killed three people. I killed three people. Let me blow my nose. And that guy was crazy. But this takes the goddamn cake.
This
Travis.
Guy is just simple. He's like backwoods Wisconsin, like simple. Like, I feel so bad for his nephew. I'm watching it. And I have known people like that where they're not smart enough to understand anything.
Oh yeah. The guy that they have like this ridiculous coerced confession. They're like, so you shot her in the head, right? They have a waterhead, Napier. They have this waterhead 15-year-old boy or something. And they're like, so you shot her in the head, right? And he's like, no. I'm like, but you shot her in the head, right? No. Mm-hmm. He goes, dude, your mom's going to be mad when you find out you're lying to us. You shot her in the head, right? Yeah.
It started like, what did you do to the head? What did you do? What did you guys do to the head? You were there. What did you do to the head? We caught her.
Travis,
hair?
We have to stop talking about this.
I know.
It's
sorry.
Not interesting at all. But what I'm telling you guys is I'm very passionate about this.
I can't stop thinking about it.
You like, need to watch it. And if you don't have Netflix, you need to steal it, I guess. I don't know. Whatever you have to do to see it, you have
you gotta
to see
watch it.
Because
praise to the filmmakers, because holy shit. It's like every episode is like one of those Dateline murder mysteries. Except it's shot like a documentary and presented like a
narrative.
And it's
the same guy.
It's amazing.
I don't know how they had the presence of mind to know this was crazy, because they have video footage
They started making it as soon as he was let out of prison on the DNA evidence, which was 2003, I think.
And so they thought that they were just doing a feel-good.
Yeah, they thought they were just like, hey, look at the first guy in Wisconsin history to get let out on DNA evidence. And it just fell in their fucking laps that this crazy shit was about to
go
down.
Good for them. Jesus.
No shit.
I mean, I guess not good for them because, but holy shit, man.
Well, they tell you to keep the camera rolling.
If, if Netflix shows can be awarded Emmys, this thing, it's so amazing. Everybody today, because like I said, we finished it. We burned through all 10 episodes this weekend as well. And I told everybody who would listen to me the last 2 days, you need to watch this thing.
I have a reality show that I'd like to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know all the creepos on Twitter that like propose marriage to like porn actresses? Who really the only thing they know about the porn actresses is they've seen penises go in and out of them.
That's a lot to know, to be honest with
you.
That
really is.
I mean, it is, but I mean, you don't like know what kind of movie she likes or anything.
That's not really the point.
You've seen penises go in her. That's really the extent of your relationship.
It's probably in her Twitter bio what she likes or on her Amazon.
Yeah, her Amazon wish list, right? I thought that it would be funny to make a reality show where a porn actress like accepts one of these creepos. Marriage proposals.
And then it follows them after they get married?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you know, so it's like a guy that, you know, kinda looks
like you have to stop talking because we need to pitch this. This is amazing.
It's like a guy that kinda looks like drunk, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like he lives in his mom's basement and he just jacks off to internet porn and has like a job at like, you know, Costco or something. And like she just moves in with him, and it's just their life. But I don't want to like make it like a funny like comedy. I want it to be real life. I want to know what happens when a pornography actress just accepts somebody's marriage proposal.
Yeah, this
based
isn't
on nothing.
Ice Loves Coco. This is like the uncomfortableness of like My Strange Addiction, where the dude is in love with a Geo Metro.
And like he loves her. You know, based on what he's seen in the pornography film, but is he still going to be okay with her doing porn?
Guaranteed, the entertainment from the show is going to be how it like completely creepy and weird this guy is to her all the time.
Like, yeah, what does he do to like show affection?
And does he still try to like get other porn stars to marry him, or is he like contented now?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, you know, is she the only one that he's even proposing marriage to? Does he actually want, you know, her real heart, or does he want just the little digital one?
I think the possibilities are endless, and I think we spin this shit off into, like, a Bachelor, but with the Bachelorette, but with, like, porn stars. So it's, like, a bunch of creepy pizza-stained guys.
Okay, so it's a porn star. Opting. We have to get, like, a popular one that has lots of marriage proposals. And you get all of the nerds that proposed marriage to her. Like you remember when Wendy's saw my tweet about the pretzel burger and had me sign the release to use it in a commercial? And then they realized my name had dicks in it and didn't put it on TV.
Whoops. Bit of an oversight.
We just scour the internet for nerds sending porn stars marriage proposals, and we send them all like a release, like, hey, would you like to be on this reality show? And of course they will. They all want to be on reality shows, right?
Yeah, unless every one of them pulls a drunk and never goes to Las Vegas to get it on with these porn stars. You know what I mean?
See, like, I get, see, because we're going to have the backing of a major network, we'll be able to fly them out here,
yeah,
right?
We'll pay you for your travel, and we'll put you up in this sweet mansion. Well, this porn house. We'll put you up there.
And she gets to eliminate one each week until she finds, you know, her true love. And then,
like, I think that we
could, and then she just gets on Twitter and at mentions him, yes.
I think... That's the prize. She just at mentions him on
each
Twitter,
week
yes.
When they eliminate one person, she says you're blocked and blocks them on Twitter so that they can't contact her
Holy
anymore.
Holy shit, and that's a spinoff show, all the suicides that happen because the porn stars block these fucking guys.
You're a creep, you're blocked. And then she gets out her phone and hits the button and it makes a little noise.
Do you think it'd be funny when he files for divorce because now he's into shemales?
He's evolved past pornography film stars.
into like the really dark corners of the internet where you all eventually go, right?
Are she-males like dark?
I mean, it's dark. Getting into kind of weird territory, I'd yeah. say.
It's
I mean,
not stump-fucking weird.
Once you cross that line, though, I mean, where is there else to go? I know there's a lot of other places. But
oh, there's Japanese vomit porn.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I think if you get to that point where you're into she-males all of a sudden, and then that becomes boring, it's just going to keep going.
And then you start jacking off, like, to The Exorcist? What happens?
Broads dumping. That's a thing.
Oh, like Chuck Berry?
Yeah. That's pretty gross.
Like, oh, yeah.
I think this, I really do think this is a winner, though. I think we could actually just, like, self-finance this show, make, like, 10, 13 episodes, and we could sell this to a network no problem.
Yeah, see, but I don't know if, like, a major network is going to be okay
like
with the whole porn angle.
E would take it. Showtime might possibly take it.
Oh, Showtime would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Showtime has a show where Dave Attell just sits on a couch and watches pornography and comments
That's
on it.
Great. Dave's Old Porn is such a good show. It's so funny.
Showtime will take anything.
They're just sitting on a couch with random people watching porn together, being like, look at those giant 70s bushes in its entertainment.
Travis, did I ever tell you my Christmas miracle story? This is our Christmas episode. I know Napier knows my Christmas miracle story. I've probably told it on the show 5 times.
Yeah, but not this year.
Every year at Christmas, I have to tell the story of our Christmas miracle.
Does it involve Festivus?
When I was a young man, we spent an evening one time driving around and stealing baby Jesuses out of nativity scenes. Now, I was young and immature, guys. I would never do that now. Let me keep that in the back of your mind. I'm an adult now.
Yeah, Mike only steals Josephs from nativity scenes now.
We stole about 15 to 20 Jesuses out of nativity scenes, and each one we replaced with a bottle of Hunt's ketchup. And so all of them were huddled around a manger that had a bottle of Hunt's ketchup in it. And we took all 15 to 20 baby Jesuses and took them to one nativity scene. And that nativity scene had a whole bunch of Jesuses. And that was the Christmas miracle.
How did you position the baby Jesuses? Like, were they surrounding everybody else, or were they all in the middle?
We had a laundry basket full of baby Jesuses, and we just dumped out the laundry basket.
Just on the ground, wherever?
Yeah.
I think it would be funny to go to all the nativity scenes where they have, like, it's all black people, and then go to the ones where it's, you know, it's all white people.
I know they have black Santas. They don't have black nativity scenes.
Yeah, they do.
I don't
know
if I've seen one of those.
I've seen around, you know, I've seen
whatever.
Around.
It sounds fun, but you take don't know if I've ever seen one.
You take the white baby Jesus and you put it in the black manger and you take the black baby Jesus.
Do you paint them yourself?
No, they come that way. Like, they'll be there for you. Like, they bought them like that. And I think it would be funny to have them all switched around and piss off the racist.
And then have, like, a thought bubble coming out of Joseph saying, wait a minute. It's not the right color.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, you'd have to find a pornography film star, Travis, who was popular enough to get a lot of marriage proposals, but not so popular that she has way more options.
My favorite one for a while there was the doppelbanger you found for Anna Kendrick, and then she just stopped doing porn. I guess I'm not familiar with the porn industry and the porn starlets enough to know who would qualify for this.
I'd say we need about 15 of them.
And we get the teen mom? Is that what we do? Do we get the teen mom who did porn?
Do you think she gets... See, I guess it doesn't have to be a porn chick. I mean, I'm sure... Like, what's her name? The Jen Kirkman.
Who?
The comedian Jen Kirkman.
Yeah.
She calls people out when they do it, and she's, like, mean to them on Twitter, and she says that it's creepy and fuck you and stuff. She was on Nerdist a while back, and, like, she started going on this whole, like, feminist thing about how, like, you know, women are mistreated in comedy and, you know, that it's gross when guys propose marriage to her on Twitter and all that. And like, I started off like being kind of mad, and I was like, you know, fuck her, you know? And then I was like, God, all she wants is just to be like treated fairly. And
like, that's not
why am I such
deal.
A dick?
Yeah, exactly.
What's my fucking problem?
And I know you could say that it happens to men too, because I've seen it. Like every time, like Robert Downey Jr., like Chris Hemsworth makes a Twitter posting, there are probably 50 ladies that are down there saying, "You make my pants wet. You know, come and drop one in me." But I almost guarantee you that for every one of those, there's probably 100 of them for those ladies. So that probably does suck.
My favorite is like Kanye West tweets like once a month. And whenever Kanye West tweets, the first guy that replies to him always replies, "Dad." It's always the first tweet, and I don't know why, but I love when I see a Kanye West tweet in my feed, because I click on it and then all the replies come down, and the first one is always a guy that says "Dad," and I don't know why. "Dad?" Drunkard STL on the Twitters. Hi, Drunk. Merry Christmas. This is our
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Santa
Welcome,
Travis.
Welcome, Drunk.
Hey, Travis. How are you today?
Do you want to sit on Santa Travis's lap?
I want to sit on Santa Travis's lap every time.
Tell Santa Travis what you want for Christmas.
You've been a good boy this year.
I want a pony and a train set.
I'll get you neither of those.
What do you have planned for the big holiday, guy?
You know, gotta go to the ladies on Christmas Eve and my uncle's on Christmas Day.
Yeah?
Yep.
How are things?
Things are good. You know, spent a lot of money on Christmas presents, but, you know, I like people I'm giving the Christmas presents to, so.
Did you see the Miss Universe pageant?
I did not, but I've heard about it.
You heard about the big ending?
Steve Harvey's a dum-dum. I saw the card, and it's like so clearly printed.
Our winner
is the winner.
Miss Rancho Cucamonga.
He's like, "Look, y'all, it says Columbia on it." Yeah, clearly it says first runner-up, Columbia. Dum-dum, learn how to read.
I guess they should have explained the rules to him a little bit better.
I guess they get to cut on the Family Feud when he fucks up like that.
What I don't understand is why they didn't just not worry about it. Because it doesn't fucking matter anyway. I mean, there's two of them up there. Who really gives a shit which one of them has won? Just let her be the winner. Don't go rip the crown off of her and give it to somebody else. That's terrible. Just say, we fucked up, but, you know, Columbia, cool, whatever.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean it. And by the way, just on looks alone, Columbia should have won, I think.
Isn't that what it is?
It's really important because you remember last year when that other one won? You know, that one.
No, I don't.
I have no idea.
Miss What's-Her-Face.
You remember?
From that one country.
Nobody remembers.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
Because nobody gives a
shit. I don't even really know why it's still a thing. How has the feminists not got on that yet?
Oh, I think they have, but I think the fact that there's always a great TV soundbite of one of the ladies saying something completely ridiculous overshadows the feminism.
But I mean, like, you know, all it really is, it's the Westminster dog show only for broads.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty
much. Oh, she walked in high heels well. We'll give her a 4 out of 5 stars. Oh, her ass looks good in a bikini. 3 out of 5 stars. It's all bullshit.
Of course it is.
I'm offended by it.
I don't know why you're
actually
offended.
Kind of am too, and I'm not offended by anything, but there's not like a Mr. Universe pageant, is there?
Yes. I don't know.
I think it's
Does anybody watch it?
Mr. Universe is a muscle building competition.
Well, that's fine. They're doing something specific by making their body be these giant, gargantuan, disgusting things to look at.
Women are doing the same thing. I mean, they're making their bodies look a certain way. You think every last one of them wouldn't eat 20 cheeseburgers right now?
I don't know. Did you see Miss USA?
Oh, man.
She looks like she really enjoys McDonald's.
Miss USA, if you
drive by a Wendy's.
Yeah.
You stop and get that bacon Gouda burger.
Yeah.
And you won't be Miss USA anymore.
Screw you for saying that because they keep playing that commercial and they're always talking about the Gouda fries or whatever the hell they
are. Travis. It's one of the highlights of my life thus far. The bacon Gouda thing at Wendy's. Oh, my God. It's so good.
I can't go to our neighborhood one.
It's just a melty, disgusting monstrosity of gross. But it's so good.
I'm sure it is.
Our local Wendy's is the shittiest fucking restaurant in town. I can't tell you how many times I've gone there and they fucked up my order.
Napier.
It's probably every single damn
I went to the Wendy's that you're talking about the other day. And the chick that was taking the money at the first window, she was really nice.
Yeah.
And, like, as I'm pulling up to the window, another girl comes over and pushes her. And they got in a fist fight right there at the window. These two girls are, like, pulling each other's hair and punching each other in the face and, like, screaming at each other. And the fucked up thing is, I mean, it's not a huge restaurant. So you would imagine this commotion going on would alert the rest of the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the women at the other window, mere feet away, were completely unfazed by the fist fight going on a few feet from them, which leads me to believe it happens often. It must happen often.
You're talking about a fast food restaurant, Mike.
I'm talking about Wendy's. They're fist fighting at the Wendy's, drunk.
Shit happened at Taco Bell when I worked there all the time.
You got in fights?
Two people fight. You still got a job to do, man.
Yeah, we had a fist fight at Pizza Hut. It was a really one-sided fist fight, too.
What are you talking about? You don't go break up the fight?
Fuck no.
I'm not getting punched in the face.
I ain't breaking up any fight. Are you crazy?
Real quick, I miss Napier Pizza Hut dropping.
I might join into a fight, but I'm not breaking up no fight. That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah, what does that have to do with drunk? Drunk's not in the middle of that.
I mentioned that we worked at Pizza Hut in high school the other day on Twitter, and I got a reply that, you know, oh, yeah, I bet you work at Pizza Hut. They like,
like that's something to, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I had a job when I was 16. Shit. What a fucking loser.
You're working no Pizza Hut.
But, no, what I was making reference to is a guy was asking us if we know any of the Saint Lunatics. Guys who would always come into Pizza Hut and tell us they were a Saint Lunatic and ask.
You mean
for
Nelly's
free pizzas.
Posse?
Yeah.
He must have had a crew of like 5,000
people.
Yeah, well, there were several Saint Lunatics, but I think that the people just kind of wore the flat brimmed hat with the sticker still on it and just said,
Air Force One?
"Hey, man, I'm a Saint Lunatic," and maybe on some people it works, but you know, if you fit a certain profile, then maybe you could.
Just say, hey, that's cool. $9.50.
Yeah, and yeah, and I guess we wouldn't be in a position to disprove them because we're not really sure who any of the Saint Lunatics were besides Nelly. So
yeah, you'd never be able to pick out their posses in real life, like D12, Saint Lunatics. There's no possible way I'd ever know who any of them were.
So after this discussion, I get into a whole thing, and I'm like, I wonder what happened to the Saint Lunatics. Where are they now? One of them owns a vape shop. Do the vape guys do good? There's so many vape shops.
Yeah, they all do. It is ridiculous. To make this shit is pennies.
Well, I mean, there was like 7 or 8 of them, Travis. I'm assuming one of them's probably dead. Yeah,
one of the D12s is
dead. You had the whole Free City, which was City Spud, is pretty much in jail still, I think.
You know who the Saint Lunatics are?
Did you just say City Spud?
Drop some knowledge on us, Drunkard STL.
Well, I mean, you got Kiwan. He had that everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Fuck. Drunk knows their names.
That wasn't a Saint Lunatic song?
I mean, it was a Kiwan song. He is part of the Saint Lunatics.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy?
Yes.
I remember that song.
He was a Saint Lunatic?
He was a Saint Lunatic, yeah.
I love that song for like.
And then you had
Murphy
Lee.
Oh, yeah, Murphy Lee, he done stuff.
Napier, Drunk can name all of the Saint Lunatics.
No, I cannot name all of the Saint Lunatics.
You just named two!
I did name two Saint Lunatics.
Okay, did Murphy Lee.
And Murphy Lee.
Did Murphy Lee have a song?
Yeah, Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones wasn't a St. Lunatic song?
That's Murphy Lee.
Oh, God, do you remember that?
That was on the St. Lunatic.
People are going to be so psyched that we're doing the history.
Do you think we could get Air Force One guy on the show? Because I love that song.
Murphy Lee? Probably not.
No.
I doubt that.
Do you remember when they had Freddie Brathwaite in one of their music videos?
Now, you're getting way too inside now.
Okay, Freddie Brathwaite was a black goaltender from Canada. Comes down to St. Louis because we traded for him. And because he's a black hockey player, they had him in a music video. And he could not have looked more awkward and weird than in that fucking video. He had no idea what the fuck to do other than stand there in a Blues jersey.
Is that because he was Tiger Woods black, where he was, like, mostly white?
Even no. He's
black?
No, you could... I'm not trying to be racist, but...
That's not racist. When,
back in the days of non-high-def televisions, you couldn't see this dude's face behind the goalie mask. It was so dark.
Oh, well, maybe that's racist.
Yeah, that's a little racist. But you really couldn't. You really couldn't.
I thought you were going a different way with that, and you didn't, so that, I'm going to go...
Drunk. I don't mean anything mean.
Name another St. Lunatic.
I don't think I can.
Just try. Larry Two Shoes.
Right.
Oh, was Chingy in the St. Lunatics, or did he do his own thing?
No, Chingy was more with, like, Ludacris and whatnot. I think he was part of Disturbing the Peace, if you will.
Guys, we're going to go to...
Master P?
No, Master P was the No Limit Soldiers.
Did you see they have a reality show right now coming out with Sons of Hip Hop or something along those lines where it's all D-list rappers, kids trying to make their way in the world?
I really want to see a special.
You're telling me that got on the air and we can't get our porn star marriage.
What channel is that on, Travis?
Mike, I'm telling you that we need it's on We Entertainment. Used to be Channel for Women, and now they're branching out.
I was about to say, isn't We Women's Entertainment?
Yeah, used to be, now it's just We. Now it's everybody. Okay. It's not just for women, because that would be...
Example of a niche channel moving more towards the center and abandoning their original purpose.
Right. Lil Romeo is on there, or... I think it's Lil Romeo. No, he's just Romeo, and then... Master P's kids on there, I think, and it's all just them making their way in the world.
I want to see a documentary on that Jaden Smith and his absolute batshit crazy tweets.
And his sister. It's like them together. That'd be a great show.
We should have a show where Jaden Smith goes and, like, works retail jobs.
So we could make, like, a simple life. But instead of Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, it's with Jaden Smith and Will.
Yeah, Jaden Smith has lived his entire life with Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, and he's never experienced anything remotely normal. He wears Batman suits to weddings. Give him a job at, like, TJ Maxx and just see how that goes.
And... before he comes to the actual job, they just vaguely tell him the dress is business casual, and let's see what he comes up with. Let's just see what he thinks business casual is.
Have a show where you take Jaden Smith and you put him in a room with, like, 12 Green Bay Packers fans and just see what they talk about.
Say, during, like, a Green Bay game.
Yeah. See, tell the Green Bay Packers fans, hey, you win $10,000 if Jaden gives you his cell phone number. so that forces them to engage with him.
But you don't tell Jaden Smith that.
So no,
tell,
no, no.
You tell the Packer fans, get Jaden Smith's cell phone number any way you can, and we'll give you $10,000.
Yeah, if Jaden gives you his cell phone number and it's real, we'll verify that it's a real number and he's not just blowing you off.
Mike, I'm telling you, after tonight's episode, I feel like you should be like in charge of like the Logo Network or something, because all of these reality shows, I would watch every one of them.
Travis, it's all off the top of my head. I could do this all day.
And that's what I'm saying. If this is the
Jaden Smith cell phone show. See, I don't know if you could do that weekly, though. You couldn't trick Jaden Smith for like a long period of time.
No, you just continue to like let him live in his little bubble world, and you tell him, "Hey, we just want to pay you to go to Green Bay Packer games and sit in a box, and you can eat all the chicken wings and like
racist.
Shredded beef sandwiches. Nope, shredded beef sandwiches that you want." And all you have to do
go back and say hot dogs.
All of the hot dogs and shredded beef sandwiches that you want, it's fully stocked. You can have anything, nachos, it's all there. You just have to talk to these Green Bay Packer fans every week for 3 hours.
And then you have to film a whole season of it and then release it.
Yep. And then that's the thing. You tell the Green Bay Packer fans, you need to try to get his number without actually trying to get his number.
And yeah, so just like pages. Convince Jaden Smith to like be your friend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Try to get him to be your friend.
That's all there is to it. Just get him to decide this is someone that I want to have more conversations with.
I guarantee I know a line that would do it.
Sad.
Hey, did you hear about cell phones and how they might give your balls cancer? Guarantee you he has an opinion on that.
The first thing I would say is, you know what my favorite movie is? After Earth.
Guys, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Thank you. All right, Max, let's go find some food or something. It's Christmas, and I mean, we have plenty of being a miserable prick to do.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Who said that?
You really are a heel.
What the fuck?
You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
You come out from your hiding place and come at me, bro.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Whoa. Black? Why is it gotta be black? Wait, what's going on? Who are you? I don't even know you, man.
Well, you're a monster, Mr. Grinch.
What?
Your heart's an empty hole.
Hey, fuck you, dude. Who are you?
Your brain is full of spiders. You got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
Garlic? What the fuck does that even mean?
I wouldn't touch you with a 30 to 9 and a half foot pole.
Why does it have to be a half foot?
You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch.
I mean, 39 and a half feet. Why did you come up with that number?
You got termites in your soul.
Just very specific, that number.
You got all the tenderness and sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch.
Where are you even coming up with these references?
Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
Who are you? What is this? Where are you coming from? Do you even know me, man? Hey, where'd you go? Are you gone? I mean, that was weird. It was just like this disembodied voice, like, saying weird shit to me.
You're a rotter.
Oh, fuck.
Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots.
What the fuck is a sot? I need a thesaurus.
Your heart's a dead tomato splot with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch.
What do these even mean?
You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
So I'm an unappetizing sandwich? Really?
You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch.
Dude, what is going on?
With a nausea super nause. You're a crooked jerky jock. You drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch.
What the fuck?
Your soul is an appalling dump. Heap overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of rubbish imaginable.
Jesus.
Mangled up and tangled up knots.
I'm being bullied. I feel like I'm being bullied. It's Christmas, man. I mean, it's not really my thing, but don't you have anything better to do? Nothing?
You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks.
What?
Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three best words to describe you are as follows, and I quote.
Handsome and charming and... No?
Stink, stank, stunk.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks, man. I enjoyed that. And I feel as though I need to make some real positive life changes.
You're a cunt, Mr. Grinch. Mr. Grinch, you're a thieving, conniving...
You're listening to StrangeLabel.com. Viva La Label.
It's Christmas Eve and I've only wrapped two fucking presents. Christmas Eve and I've only wrapped two fucking presents. And I hate trick-or-treats. I hate trick-or-treats. And now I'll never talk to you again unless your mama set me up. Never talk to you again unless your mama touched my cup. Never talk to you again. I check a lead into a sock. Never talk to you again. I'll never talk to you again. It's Christmas Eve and I've
got a refill on the old sangria, big guy.
Running low.
I am.
Beautiful Christmas song too, by the way.
Hey guys, welcome back. The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. You know, StrangeLabel.com between now and Christmas is running a very Napier Christmas.
It's amazing.
It will be a nonstop loop of all of the famous Napier carols.
Are any of mine going to be on there? Or?
It's a very Napier Christmas, Drunk.
What about my Christmas song?
With special guests, Drunkard STL.
And Mandy Weaver.
That was a very good Christmas Shoes I did last year.
It is. And that's funny that you bring up Christmas Shoes because...
It's a tearjerker.
Now, does anybody not know Christmas Shoes?
I would have to think everybody has to.
Do me a favor real quick. Just run through the outline of Christmas Shoes. For people who may not be aware of Christmas Shoes.
Little kid in the store goes to buy shoes. He doesn't have enough money. He cons the dick behind him into giving him the money for the shoes because he comes up with a sad story about how his mother's dying, but it's probably just a ruse.
And then his dad probably just comes back in, returns the shoes, and keeps the money.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's Christmas Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's this sappy bullshit song that it's really, really gross.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be beautiful if my mother sees Jesus tonight? No kid talks like that.
It's a terrible
They want their
song.
Kid.
That
they want their mother
terrible.
To be
no. It's a,
alive.
It's an arranged fable that they've created and done at every shoe store across the country as a money making scheme, and it works.
Hey, go ahead and if you're gonna buy those shoes, if you go ahead and buy a second pair of shoes, we'll throw it in this box for a needy kid. And then as soon as those assholes leave the store, they put them right back on the shelf.
You may or may not know that I receive submissions for Strange Label's independent music show.
Do you get some winners?
I get some real winners and some real goddamn losers. So I get this email from a gal, and I'm going to read you the email. Hello. I'm kind of sick of all the usual lineup of Christmas songs that I hear in the mall, so I wrote some alternatives. This is my favorite, a Christmas country ballad, super retro and sentimental. Completely old school, a little sweet, a little sad. It'd be pretty awesome if you played it on Strange Label. A total honor. MP3 attached.
A total honor, even.
So we're gonna get to hear the song?
Meals. So... I bring up Christmas Shoes because I want you to hear this song, and I want you to tell me that this isn't just Christmas Shoes with different lyrics.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so if you need me to stop, I will, but I want to play Christmas Rose.
I was going to guess Christmas Reading Glasses.
By Cellar Door.
Okay.
I was in the garden in December, hanging Christmas lights forever, fussing about looking good, trying to wow the neighborhood. When the little girl who lives next door came outside and closed the door, she was shivering in her her summer clothes, and barefoot she snuck to my garden and stole a rose.
So Dickensian street urchin goes up to somebody.
Pause it.
First of all, she hasn't changed clothes in a whole season.
And who has a garden door?
And is it really a garden in December?
Yeah, it's more like does this bitch live that there's a garden still growing in December?
Yeah, she should just call it dead earth.
Yeah, the roses are still pristine.
And automatically, shouldn't you be worried that this kid is outside of their home?
With no shoes on and
summer
clothes?
Get that kid back
clothes?
In that house.
Okay, let's keep going.
Her face was pale and her eyes were wet. I was unseen behind trees. She went to her daddy coming out the door. Suitcase.
Wait. No, they were in a garden. They were just in a fucking garden.
No, they're
she
next
just
door.
Came to the garden door.
She stole the rose and now she's chasing after her dad who's leaving the house with a suitcase.
Okay.
Pull upon.
You're fucking up the narrative here.
The narrative's kind of fucked up.
He swept her up in a fierce embrace, and she reached out and touched his face.
Fierce
and though
embrace.
Her ain-
Did she say fierce embrace?
A fierce embrace, and then he touched her face. Because
from,
those two words
from
rhyme.
From the dad to the daughter, it's a fierce embrace?
I guess
That's
he gave her like
right.
gave her a bear hug.
No wonder she's trying to take the fuck off.
Travis,
out of
don't
that
make
house.
Don't make this weird.
His eyes were red. I won't forget just what she said. Daddy, will you take this rose back?
Sound familiar?
To mama, please. I know that you've been fighting for
sounds vaguely
some
familiar.
Time.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mom.
It's
mama,
Christmas time. And I believe you love her so. Give her this glorious Christmas rose and dance with her on Christmas Eve.
So you gonna play it on the
until
station?
The
I'm playing it on the station right Christmas now, drunk.
Well, I mean, that's
what she wanted.
You should put it in rotation.
Okay.
Napier Oki.
So this guy.
Yeah, Napier Christmas.
This guy on Christmas Eve is like, I've had enough of this bullshit. I'm done. I'm leaving. He's packed a suitcase.
Yeah, shit's already in motion.
Yeah, what's this mom doing? Did she just get done sucking
another
dude's
dick? She's inside. She stays in bed all day, Travis.
Yeah. Cause she's blowing, dude.
Get the fuck out of bed, God! I'm sick of you just being in bed all day.
You're not even sick.
We're not even that old. We can still live. Let's vacation. Let's take this little kid of ours. I mean, when was the last time we went somewhere?
Your daughter is terrified that you never leave the bedroom, and you won't let me take her the fuck out of here. I can't be here anymore.
The goddamn neighbors just looky-looing at everything we do. I feel like I'm under surveillance. Just constant surveillance.
He held her close and thought a while, then stood up and gazed down at his child. He said, I'm
mind your fucking business.
He walked away, got in his car. She hurried to the side window. She said, Mama has been sick, you know, but she's loved you her entire life.
And go Dad said,
her,
watch your
forgive
toes.
Your wife. And she held. About to drive away when tears ran down her face and she
here it
sang,
comes here it comes
Daddy,
oops, we gave the wrong rose to you. You're not the winner, Mrs. Columbia. It's Mrs. Philippines who deserves this rose.
Sometime
Multiply how stupid Steve Harvey looks when he's wearing that gaudy suit.
It's purple, and nobody can pull off that shit.
The back of his neck looks like a hot dog bun.
Daddy, won't you run back to her? It's Christmas time, and I believe you love her so. Give her this glorious Christmas rose.
Okay, pause it. I know what's going through this dad's head right now. Number one is he's just, if he leaves right now on Christmas, there is no way he's not going to have to pay for 20 years of therapy for that kid.
There's no way he's not a dick, right? I mean, he can...
Yeah,
he
that
can,
guy sucks. It's fucking Christmas regardless.
Right. I mean, you wait until the new year, make it your resolution.
Resolution to leave your family behind.
This year is finally the year I do it.
I'd say even if he comes back. I mean, at this point, like... There's still going to have to be a conversation had, right? Well, I mean, it's not like he's just going to come back inside and say, oh, I was just taking this suitcase to CVS to get a carton of eggs.
CVS had that Hawkman exclusive Christmas figure you wanted, darling. That's where I was going.
Hey, sweetie, our daughter handed us this flower that magically grew out of the ground in the neighbor's yard, and she said it's yours now, so I guess I'm staying.
Dance with her on Christmas Eve until the sunlight breaks on Christmas morning.
Then you can leave.
He threw the car in park and flung the door open wide and took that Christmas rose, kissed his child, and went inside. As I stood there draped in Christmas lights.
So he went inside.
He threw the car in park.
He's defeated now.
Right.
He's like, fuck. I guess.
What am I going to do? I'm going to drive away from my sobbing
daughter.
Child?
No, of course not. So he goes in there and he pours himself the biggest drink you've ever seen straight because he has to cope with living in this fucking house that he cannot stand. Like, for Christmas, he was giving himself the gift of freedom. And his daughter's like, Dad, though, come on, man. And he's like, shit.
And then you find out in the next verse that this gal lived next door to Chris Benoit. That wasn't right.
No, that's not right.
I'm sorry. It was a bad joke.
What kind of...
Did you have that locked and loaded?
I didn't, no.
What kind of conversation
this is this?
This
isn't a locked and loaded week, Travis. I don't know if you figured that out or not. This is all off the seat of my pants.
Pretty amazing.
This week.
What kind of conversation is this dude going to have
and
with his
And then I heard two shots, followed by a third. No. I'm editing all of this out. That was
no,
awful.
You're not. That's amazing.
I knew that it was
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Christmas time. Daddy, will you take this rose back?
I wish I could get the sleigh bells back.
Please. I know.
Hold on, you adulterous slut. I still love you. Please take me back into this house
Daddy,
that I paid for with my money.
Daddy, won't you forgive Mom? She only fucked half the bowling team. But it's Christmas.
Even when you can taste all those men's dicks on her mouth, just grin and say, I love you.
Daddy, just swallow your pride. I know you wanted to live a good life. But you're gonna have to suck it up.
Because you had a kid that you hate who does stupid shit like steal neighbors' flowers.
And you're liable for that.
Drunk, were you touched by our moving Christmas material?
I don't know why you hate that lady's song so bad.
You liked it?
Didn't think it was horrible.
Didn't you think it sounded kind of familiar, though?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
You know,
I hate that song.
If that song went on for another verse, it would be how she's watching her neighbor's house burn down as the dad does a slow clap in front of it.
No, the next verse would be, I was listening to the Christmas Shoes song, and I got struck with an idea, and it was to write this exact song.
That's only instead of somebody dying, that's kind of a bummer, so let's just tackle divorce.
If you want to get technical, nobody really dies in Christmas Shoes. It's just some kid saying it so he could get money.
That's true.
And yeah. His mom's been dead for months.
Oh, sweetie, she's going to need a lot more than shoes.
Yeah, because the mom probably would not be approving of this kid and his dad's life of crime.
No, probably not. But then again, you know, she's probably strung up in a cellar somewhere.
I feel like that song is about Norman Bates, and he's taken the shoes to his mom that's a skeleton upstairs in Bates Motel.
Now I wish I had Drunk's version of Christmas Shoes.
It's a quality song.
So, guys,
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, if you're looking for some holiday cheer over the next couple of days, Napier's going to be singing some carols on strangelabel.com. Definitely check that out.
Drunk too.
Maybe. You know, I'll have to look and see if I can find Christmas Shoes. I got it somewhere, I'm sure. NASA's looking for new astronauts, so be sure if you're interested to. I think we should probably just ship up some of the undesirables, send them out into space. But you know, there's.
Can you define the undesirables?
People that we don't want to be here anymore.
Who's we?
The collective we. Look, Drunk.
I feel like the collective we nowadays between me and you is completely different Drunk. Nowadays.
Look.
Yes,
Drunk,
sir?
Do you love killers?
No, I don't love
killers. Yeah, we're going to get rid of
rapists?
Them.
No.
It's going to be like that movie No Escape with Ray Liotta where they have the island that they all fight, only instead of an island, we're going to send them all to Mars.
Gotcha.
And they can fight on Mars.
Why would we do that, though?
I'd watch that movie, too.
Why would we do it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we do it? We're going to put it all on pay-per-view. They're going to fight on Mars.
Can we include Melissa?
So we got to terraform it first, though, right?
No.
So they just duke it out. They just duke it out in astronaut suits?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Mm-hmm. Now, Drunk, the last couple of weeks, I have thrown out a couple of my ideas on ways to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But I've found that I'm not the only one trying to improve things.
Okay.
I heard an idea the other day that I loved very much that I want to tell you about.
Okay.
See, there's other people out there fighting the good fight. They're coming up with all these great plans.
Absolutely.
So there's this company that drives around in a big, giant gas truck.
Gas truck. Define a gas truck.
Like a truck full of gas.
Like a
tanker truck.
Okay.
Full of gas, right?
Sure.
They've developed an app.
We're talking about 87 grade petrol.
And I don't know the fucking fuel grade Drunk.
It's probably that shitty 85.
So they buy their gasoline wholesale, right? And they developed an app, and they make appointment times with businesses. And you can get into this app and say, fuck yeah, man, fill me up. And they'll just go around with the truck and they'll just fill up your gas tank. They clean your tires and they wash your windows while you're at work.
Mm-hmm. Is that at cost?
Yeah. They said a lot of the people that were interviewed for the story said that they found that it was actually cheaper than going to the gas station because this.
Well, yeah, Wisconsin just passed a law a couple of years ago where anybody could charge whatever they wanted for gasoline, so they're wide open.
So these guys just drive around and like they go to probably big companies that have a lot of cars,
mm-hmm.
and they just tell people, "Hey, man, if you want your gas tank filled up, you just you give us, I guess, your license plate number, and." You know, we'll fill you up and charge your card.
That's a great idea.
And then, like, you don't have to go to the gas station. There's a guy that said that he hasn't been to a gas station
in 4 months because
I'm totally into that.
Because they just fill his car up with gas while he's at work. And that's a great money-making. It's good for everybody. It's a smart idea. It's like the food trucks that go around. It's convenient, and you might pay a little extra just for the convenience. But in this case, it said that they weren't even really paying anymore.
You know what's a better idea? That we just manufacture cars that don't need gasoline.
I was going to say fuck robots.
You remember how
robots would be pretty
computers
sweet.
Used to, and you needed an entire room to like house a computer. Now you can put it on a wristwatch. They can make cars that don't require gasoline. They should do that instead.
Yeah, but that would take effort.
No, it would take paying off lobbyists and things like that.
Hey, cars have Bluetooth in them now. That's like the same thing.
That Bluetooth should be able to power my goddamn Silverado to get me to work. That is, guys, a good idea, though. I would pay to have my car fueled up.
It's booster fuel. Apparently, it's like a thing that's happening, and people are getting into it, and it might catch on. It might not. I don't know. But I'm into it. I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. I'm just glad that there's people out there, you know, with ideas. That's what we should encourage, Drunk, is people with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you doing to better the world, Drunk?
Nothing.
Well, he's going to work and, you know,
paying taxes.
Yeah.
I saw Star Wars.
I haven't seen Star
that
Wars.
I bettered the world that way. $529 million.
You bettered
dollars.
The world by seeing Star Wars?
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost $600 million.
Can you believe this
revenue.
Guy's sacrifice? Can you believe that he bit the bullet and went and saw Star Wars?
If you've
so
seen
I'm hoping
those
it
crowds,
was the first pick on the last go around.
That was a $500 million in world revenue. Yeah. We just paid that towards the world.
I feel comfortable with the Furnacast winning the Hollywood Fantasy League because I think that they would, like, if we would have taken out Star Wars and, like, they would have had one other pick, like, with the picks that they had, they probably still would have won.
Yeah.
Because The Martian, I think they got in the third round, and it fucking did great. So they had good picks beyond, you know, having Star Wars, which beat which beat any team's total by itself.
Beyond the obvious, yeah. Like, Star Wars beat Jurassic World in 2 days.
Yeah. Well, guys, I mean, Merry Christmas and thank you. Hey,
and a Happy New Year.
A couple of weeks ago, I had like a little rant about how people should give us $5. And I was just kidding. I didn't really think anybody would actually give us $5. But actually, a couple of people did. Brian Kranz gave us $5 and the Irish on Fire guy gave us $10. So,
oh, very giving for this Christmas.
So we got a couple of donations, which I'll never ask you for.
What does that buy us?
I don't want your money. I just want you to listen.
Expect something nice in your stockings this year,
gentlemen. It'll pay for the
half a month of.
It'll pay for the hosting for 3 months.
Oh, 3 months. Nice.
Yes. So. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
If you donate $5, you get your request of Napier Karaoke's.
There you go. But we did it again, guys. We'll be back again next week. You know, Merry Christmas, and thanks to all of you guys. Thanks to, you know, the other shows on Strange Label who are always, you know, hanging out and having a good time.
Supportive.
And the Hot Butter podcast, he's always nice to us on the Twitters and whatnot. So.
I give thanks to Liquid Lozenge this year.
I give thanks to Unfit for FM.
This isn't the Thanksgiving show, guys.
I give thanks to you, Mike.
Do you? Do you really?
For setting this up every Monday and, you know.
And then having to
Monday.
Take it down.
Given this listening pleasure.
I thought it was Sunday. I'm way behind.
So how many elf on a shelf does Santa have in his workshop?
Santa, how many elf in the shelves do you have in your workshop?
I burn them nightly. It keeps all of my worker elves active and ambitious.
He used the elves on shelves as kindling?
Burn them up is what I always say.
Just burn them in effigy of the other workers and just say, hey, we can replace them with you anytime. The kids won't know.
The elf on the shelf was the original elf, Eugene, who disregarded Santa's wishes. And we murdered him in front of the reindeer.
His head is still kept on a shelf to watch the other workers.
Hence the elf on the shelf, you're right, Napier.
See, that's what happens when you accidentally take home the work hammer.
Don't steal from Santa's workshop or your head will be there too.
Well, that's my mama.
Napier. Listen live every Monday at 9, 8 central. Download past episodes at WFODix.com just in case you didn't get enough of this. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at symbol WFODix. Follow Drunk at symbol DrunkardSTL or Travis at ProduceTravis. Get on Facebook.com and then type in WFO Dix. Email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. We're not going to listen to any of your suggestions, but we will accept praise and or titty pics. And if you're a fan of Mike, just send him feet. I mean, why do you give a shit? It's feet pics.
I like feet.
Yeah, he likes feet. Send him some feet pics. You don't give a shit. Send him some fucking feet pics. Blam!
It was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two. Not really in the mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing around like little boys do. And in front his hands he held a pair of shoes, and his clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. They counted pennies for what it seemed like years. Then the cashier said, son, there's not enough here. He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and he looked at me and he said, Mama made Christmas good at our house. Most these years she just did without. Tell me, ma'am, what am I gonna do? Somehow I gotta buy her these Christmas shoes. So I laid the money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, Mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked and ran out. I knew that God had sent the little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next week.